Yes, they are similar. Otherwise, I would not put such title. But in fact, I hope so. I don't yet know this so exactly. So, what I will talk is, in fact, asymptotic theory of convex body. Yes, property of convex body, which are asymptotically for dimension increase. And so first, in this theory, all constants which are written is absolute, they don't depend on dimension, and they in fact don't depend on anything besides what is written, they depend on some parameter. So they are not anything, nothing hidden should be inside the constant. Now, I believe that conscious theory, asymptotic theories, more or less started around middle of 80s. Before, it was a long period of unconscious part of the theory where people who doing these things saw that they are part of functional analysis, infinite dimensional theory. But in middle 80s, it was realized that we are much more close to classical convexity than to classical functional analysis. And it changed some kind of problems and some approaches. During all these years, we observed the following things, that in fact, some kind of all class of convex bodies behave from starting centrally symmetric, but later it was extended for any bodies mostly, behave very similar with respect to specific operation. It more or less we know to show for all class some kind of specific behavior. But only, I would say, very recently, a year ago, first time perhaps, it became clearly that even more, that when you use some kind of random approach and random method, perhaps you just cannot distinguish any convex body from ellipsoid. And in this direction, ideology and results, I won't like to show today. So, in fact, it is a lot of, in educational part is only that a lot of questions are around obvious. Now, everyone may create for himself very good conjecture to create tests to see that this is not ellipsoid, and then to prove that not, its behavior is ellipsoid, and it is excellent theorem will be. But in most such cases, I don't know how to prove them, but in some we can. So, talk will have two parts. One part, when new result, really new result, joined with Efim Gluskin, he will come later, I mean, in the next week, and then in the third conference he will have some kind of larger talk, perhaps more than I want only to mention today. And it is exactly about behavior of random test. If you may see that this is Euclidean ball or not when we try this on any convex body. And second part is different. It is how we may quickly kill all information which distinguish one body from another. And two different bodies became very quickly looks the same. And this part, new result are joined with Pajor, and I believe on professional conference, we talk first time now, because in Haifa it was not really professional. 4 or 5 people were there when some results were mentioned. Okay, so this I start with the first part. And so let us put game, some specific game I would like to put. And perhaps before you may read my game, but I will introduce myself a couple of standard notations which every time used, and I will forget them. I use them, forgetting about them sometimes. So D for me would be Euclidean ball. So I may forget to say this, but it's only Euclidean ball. Sometimes radius is less important, sometimes it's canonical radius one, but it's Euclidean ball. K is convex body, and assuming that it's centrally symmetric, I may very often write norm. It is such norm that K is a unit ball. But even if it is not centrally symmetric, but zero belong to inner part, you may think about gauge function Minkowski functional of this K, and then also to write the same. If I have linear space, I will put xk, meaning that it's norm space with the k being in Rn, with the k being its unit ball or gauge function. And then we introduce also distances between two bodies, k and t, distance convex bodies. And people, what I will write now, good for centrally symmetric, and I don't care to start to generalize this. It is infimum of such product AB that one body is inside A time another and T is inside B time K. Yes? So this is some kind of, you know, this is now say one, but you need to extend, and then product of these numbers will be distance. Clearly, if it is one, bodies are homothetic, not equal, homothetic. And one is the minimal value from this point of view. And if you have two spaces with a unit ball K and T, that Banach-Mazur distance, which is all, so always more or equal one, is additional infimum. It's infimum between this geometric, which we call sometimes distance, it's multiplicative, so T, where infimum taken by all V, which are just invertible operator. So this applying operation, we call this choosing position, because the choosing of coordinate system, and we want to look the best coordinate system to compare two bodies. This is perhaps one more thing I always use. Absolute value for set is volume of set, and then we don't need to write what volume. It's of dimension where K stay. And now we may turn our attention to first thing I want to say, and it is game. So game is the following. So we have space. Assume we know that it is one of LP spaces, P between 1 and 2, but perhaps slightly distorted. It means that not exactly these spaces, isometrically, but in isomorphic sense, with distance which we already introduced, not more than 10. And then question, can we recognize what P is behind? And it may look strange, because usually you get used to receive body in coordinate system, where it is written what P is behind. And so we should introduce this parameter of searching parameter. And we do this in the following way, which I explain even in more simple situation, when you know that your set is just L1, cross-polytop, the unit ball of L1. But I choose linear operator, and I turn this K1 to become something K, and I did not tell you what U I use. And then only one trick allowed to me. Before I ask you what body, but you know that it is L1, I may do one thing. I may substitute this by some other t, which is a little bit distorted ellipsoid. We say distance 10 through some ellipsoid. And then, in fact, our bodies is now either torn cross-polytop or slightly distorted ellipsoid. And question is how to know what. By the way, distance from L1 to any ellipsoid is at least square root of n, so in dimension above 100, I choose 10, it is all, should be immediately seen, and n is very large. So what you allow to do, how you may know what it is? So for any x you suggest, I will provide you with norm. And so, dividing x of norm, you come to your k. So you may select point in K. And question is, how many selections you need to decide what body you have? And I would like to say that, of course, exponentially you may do this. We have such remark in one paper with Giannopoulos, when we said that if you have any convex body K, if you through, centrally symmetric for formulation, it's not for result, if you through inside exponential number of points, even if exponent is any small number, you already recover shape of the body, more or less, up to constant, depending on how small exponent. And so if you throw exponentially and check every time, you will know that it's not ellipsoid. But if you may do this in polynomial number of steps, it's not that I care about complexity, and it is not care, I don't care about such complexity type description. But I think that computer science here provide to us very right schema to talk about this, to invent new result around this subject. So, okay? So let us continue to see what we know about this. So, what we are doing? We're choosing point X1. Okay, we know to do this. Because no additional information provided, it's good to take this point randomly if possible. At least some structure come, random structure. And it is possible. There is method developed by many, many people in geometrical computer science, which says that with some kind of a cube step from given point X1, you create more or less random point inside, so you may think that you have random point. Now, of course, there is this first question, what kind of randomness? And there is a lot of different randomness. And the most interesting, I think, is randomness, geometric randomness. So, with respect to volume distribution, it's called sometimes geometric probability. And till now, all theory, local theory, mostly work with spherical randomness. And in fact, we may introduce this. I may change a little bit questions and say that my operator U original is in fact orthogonal operator. And then when you consider UK, it in fact preserves Euclidean structure you had from the start in cross-polytop, which additional information which you may use. It does not help. It's oppositely distorting because much... body looks much more ellipsoidal when you use this randomness. But we should remember that it may be many randomness behind. I just don't want to develop it. It may be more. So we start to select point. And first remark I would like to say that if you choose n over 2 point, you cannot say it is theorem that it is Euclidean or not, because random subspace of L1 of such dimension n over 2 is Euclidean. So you did not leave Euclidean sphere. You are in Euclidean space indeed. This is dependent on what randomness we take, would be either Cauchy's theorem or geometric randomness necessary to add description of volume, which was done by Shechtman and Zinn. But this is true fact. And so you should continue. So you come to n already to point number like dimension, yes? Something like this I wrote. And now, of course, you have n-dimensional space. Now you should know to tell it that it's L1 or Euclidean. So how to do this, okay, when you know this? So now you may invent different tests to check what's going on with this point and try to compare. If a random point, they behave as you know this for Euclidean, or you have distinguished to see that it's something else. I will choose test connected with parallelogram equality, and let me explain this, what it is here. Okay? So, if we are in Euclidean space, Hilbert space, H, Euclidean, then it is known that if you take any point xi by parallelogram law, very well known, and create plus minus, and take sum, no matter how many point, and take norm square, and take average by all plus and minus, what you receive is exactly square. When I took average, I take sum and divide on 2 to power m, how many points you have. This is equality. And of course, if your space is closed, you know, it is for Euclidean space without given basis. So it is isomorphic property. Affine property. So you indeed, checking this thing, don't care about operator U which I introduce. Yes, it's no matter what operator. If it is Euclidean, it will be correct. By the way, of course, I would like to have square here, square here, and it is some kind of general theorem that it is equivalent up to number square root of 2 of not to writing here thing. And then it is more easy because everything will become immediately isomorphic. I will not write and will put this one. And then it is not exactly equal. It's up to square root of 2, correct? So it's almost equal. Okay. But now let us see if I want to develop this as some kind of test. And so it is very well known in a functional analysis approach to compare these two numbers. And in fact, a very important notion of type and cotype connected with this comparison. And I will introduce this. So it may happen in general space now, not in Hilbert space, in general space X, that this number is much larger than left one. And then to compensate this largest, I should put here some constant. And the best constant I may put, which is good for any xi inside and any number m, called cotype 2 constant. What? Oh, I put it in opposite direction. Yes, of course, I wanted. In my mind, I wrote this from other side, so I'm sorry. It's type 2 constant, right? And the best constant you may put when you put opposite, then I will put it here, because then it should be put from other side. It is, in fact, called cotype 2 constant. Let me put, I believe I have this on slide. I want to develop this a little bit, but to be more quick. Oh my God. Still exists. Okay. So this is a number and so type and cotype number. They call Rademacher because we use here in this definition, we in fact use what we call Bernoulli variables, but in functional they call Rademacher variables, plus minus random. You may substitute them by different random variables, say Gaussian one. I put this here, Gaussian one, yes. And then it would be called, the same number would be cotype to Gaussian and type to Gaussian. And then there is this theorem of Kwapin, which said us that in fact this observation of this connection are very precise. And distance to Euclidean space of your space is not more than product of these two numbers. And also we don't need to go to any M. By remark of Tomczyk, important, we just enough to consider M not more than dimension. And so we have test. And in fact, we have, I switched to Gaussian variables. They're almost the same, Rademacher and Gaussian difference is logarithm, and I don't want to discuss this small difference in this talk, so it will be not important. So I, in fact, will use Gaussian, Rademacher one, but in my just mentioning of this result, I talk about Gaussian to have connection. So, it is still inequality was, but in fact it may be small correction of this inequality may bring us Kwapin theorem to give us in fact equivalence. So what we know, that knowing how much this different from this part, we know distance to Euclidean. We indeed know it. And so we have test. We may choose any set of xi. We don't need to take the number n above m. It is enough to take dimension. And if we know if they are equivalent, we will receive only equivalence. And if they are not, we will find the xi such that this difference is huge. However, how much we should work to find this set? What we are doing, we're choosing a random point, and perhaps for random connection, it is not so. And this is my next question. If I choose them randomly, what really will happen? And this will be my discussion next. What happened when I choose them randomly? And unfortunately, or not unfortunately, in fact, for the case we consider, they are always around the same. 2 square root of 2 all difference. So no matter how much we try, we will not receive, we will not recognize we have L1 or we have Euclidean. For random selection with exponential probability, we in fact have equivalence, the same test give us the same orders. Okay, I will not explain. If it is necessary to explain, then it will not help. And so we create a test and it does not work to our example. I need to continue example to just to finish, in fact, explanation of title. Because I say, are they similar? So what it means similar for me? This is my goal. So for this, consider LP and now up to some number P0. And then, again, one may show that they will be more or less the same, but now upper bound of this connection is square root of P. And so if P is logarithm n, we know that then space became L logarithm n of dimension n is the same as L infinity, that its unit ball is cube. And we see that, yes, we know to distinguish. Constant of distinction will be square root of logarithm n. So we happily come to one body we know to distinguish from Euclidean. It is cube. By throwing random point, you may recognize this to be not Euclidean. However, it may happen in dimension. Look, we want to up to 10. Yes, we choose second body to be 10 different from Euclidean. So square root of log n should be above 10, but then dimension should be above e to power 100. And this came another point of view coming from complexity. This is unreasonable. This is actually infinite dimensional space. And so we cannot distinguish. So, but this comes to understanding what I mean when we said similar. Worse than logarithm. Similarity up to logarithm is not distinguishable. And so, this is in my part when I would like to say that any two body looks the same, I mean only up to logarithm. I don't see. But in theorem which I will present, it will not be, it will be no logarithm. They will be better than what I now discuss. So, now we understand what we want. We want to recognize that distance is better than logarithmical. And question is if it is possible. And I will go even further, because we so much don't understand different between ellipsoid and convex bodies that we even cannot see different with simplex when we randomly throw in point. Or at least I don't know how to see it. And remark, it is some computation which Alain Pajor did. If you take simplex, you actually cannot know that it is not symmetric body in the range above logarithm n. If you threw random point with big probability, range of point n minus will be only on logarithm n distance, not above this. And so, in logarithm n range, you don't know, I just accidentally a little bit distorted ellipsoid, or I really stay in simplex. Simplex, which has distance n to Euclidean, you don't see this by randomly throwing point. We don't know if it is true for any convex set. But if it is so for simplex, perhaps. From another side, I'm not sure that simplex is the worst body. Because, for example, simplex became symmetric after projection of half dimension. And we know from paper of 3 authors, Luskin, Litvak, Tomchek, that in fact there exists body which are are not becoming symmetric no matter how you project them. So perhaps it may be worse. Okay. And now I'm already going to result. And all introduction may be thrown out and just result have independent meaning of this. But I like that introduction, which perhaps some people heard more than once, because it gives to us some kind of taste. We may invent conjecture. We put test, we say this is distinguished space from Euclidean, and then we prove that for random choice of point it is not so. And this creates some kind of theory. And I know a lot of questions which I don't know to answer, and for some of them I'm just ashamed, because we get used to talk language which is wrong, in fact. For expert, perhaps I will say in a minute that I don't know to prove that if you have space with finite volume ratio, it's proportional random subspace is Euclidean. If someone thinks that he knows to prove, he may come to me, and he will have mistaken in formulation. Okay? This is the point. So we talk about this every time, and we don't know to prove, because we talk about artificial probability and not about natural geometric probability, okay? So now theorems, and this is what I said, joint result with Gluskin, and I will comment in the end, it's 2 pages only. Oh my God, I talk too much. Okay, so I'm finishing without next philosophy. So every norm space has a random cotype 2. If you choose random point with exponential probability, you will have low bound. It is written here, and it is only for n point, and not for n square, because theorem is more than we demanded. It is for every lambda I. And if you take from large measure of lambda I, that m is not important. So in fact, it is as test when you choose random xi and random lambda I on the sphere, you have this for any polynomial n. But it is in very strong sense random cotype 2. And we don't have similar result for random type 2, and it may be only till logarithmical factor, and I will say this only in the word. I want to stop this, even that I put. And one thing I would like perhaps only to connect, and it is some geometric inequality, very old, which we study long ago, 15 years ago, perhaps. What is this norm? You may think about all body T to be the same body K, and you just average around body K. And it was some ideas, which I will not explain now, which says that it should be actually Euclidean. Very difficult to say why it was, but I remember, but it is. And we proved in the paper of four afters that, in fact, low bound is geometric progression. And now it's proved completely. It is indeed L2, low bound, but not upper bound. And just I will say in a word, already not explaining, not putting two more slides about this. In fact, it was also proved in that paper that low bound is some integration on Euclidean sphere is bound by isotropic constant of T. So I'm missing to explain what it is isotropic constant. It's said here. But there exists huge conjecture, hypothesis, that it is bound from above. And we don't know this. And Bourguin, the best bound today, it's n to the power 1 over 4. And it was so much work on this subject that I stopped to believe that it may be correct. However, this ideology which I present now gives this answer up to logarithm n. If space has LA, T will be K. If space has random type 2 up to logarithm, then you put average plus minus inside because integration don't fill this sign. And you put average inside, you use type 2, and you come to constant of type 2. And if it is bound by logarithm, LT bound by logarithm. So in fact, this helps us to visualize that perhaps all hypotheses anyway correct, despite the fact that 15 years we cannot move one bound which Bourguin once put on this. Okay, so this is what I say, that It cannot be by some reason bound, but up to logarithm it's open, and I don't know how to do this. So, before I come into the next subject, which I anyway want to talk a little bit, and I just will have general remark. These theorems which I presented use Brascombe-Lipp type inequalities like his ball talk today, Brascombe-Lipp-Luttinger techniques later developed by his ball and by Barthe. And in fact, these techniques is the only known to me techniques which may able to deal with geometric probability. We had this almost religious that concentration phenomena may do such result. But concentration phenomena deals only with homogeneous situation. When we have measure homogeneous on sphere, on Grassmannian, this is method which worked to the end. Attempt to apply method for geometric probability lead to some results. Say, I had remarks small with Gromov about linear functional, and then it happened to be part of Borel result for any norm. But being honest, this is very small things. No one single serious result on geometric probability was not achieved through attempt to adjust concentration phenomena to this situation. And so what before looks to me in the first work of Kisball, that this thing necessary when we want to receive result on some kind of isometric level, like isoperimetric inequality, isometric level. Now I understand that I had a mistake, that in fact this method, it is substitution of whatever we knew from concentration phenomena for geometric probability, and I don't understand exactly why. And so I think that perhaps reverse inequality, Brascombe-Lipp, but in fact in form of Kisball, which Barthe did, may help with random type 2. Perhaps this is solution of, will be solution of this problem, because with this geometric inequality, which I specially show, which is trivial consequence of Brascombe-Lipp-Luttinger inequality, we work hard to have much weaker result, because this technique was out of hand in some way. Not that some of us did not know. Bourguet knew this that time very well. It was out of connection. It was looks to be different things. And this happened to be exactly what is necessary. Okay, so this is some kind of commercial to his ball talk, not to my talk, yes? But now I will go to... Okay. I will not talk about. This is still continuation of this Brascombe-Lipp, so I will miss this. And I will go to second part. And as introduction to second part, I will just say some kind of line of result which will lead to what we will do now. And this line of result is the following. Again, what I want to see now how quickly some kind of randomized method destroy all information about convex body, and it became looks exactly the same as it was Euclidean. How quickly such thing happened? How little distinguished information we have inside. So, all the result, if KT convex and centrally symmetric, yes, and all of them normalized to be of the same volume as Euclidean ball, then we may choose position, you know, we may accidentally choose very wrong coordinate system. So we may choose linear transformation and change position of body. It's geometrically the same body, but written in some slightly better coordinate system. So this will be K-bar and T-bar bodies. And then statement says that for random orthogonal rotation, intersection of one body with rotated another, in fact, stay inside of Euclidean ball. C is absolute constant, 10, say, universal constant. Now, whoever want to see this connection with some result he may remember, I will tell you that it is the main part. It's just dualization of this show to you that you may have also estimate from inside as written here. If you took dual operation, which is convex hull of this and rotated the same body P, and then by duality, it means that it contained inside a Euclidean ball of radius 1 over C, and we see that two such operations, intersection and converse pool, create you something isomorphic to a Euclidean ball. So this is the main step, and this step we will discuss. So this is some kind of regularization which destroys all information which contain in K outside body T by just turning an intersection with any other body T, in fact, just putting it in the right position. Okay, so next step was quite recent. This was 85, 88 perhaps, I don't remember. And this was joint work with Pajor, and we just don't need centrally symmetric assumption. We may choose zero to be center of gravity, and we have the same exactly result. And even moreover, one more step, which we also written in some paper with Pajor. In fact, we may do the same when body T second belongs to some subspace of very small dimension, just epsilon n, for any fixed epsilon. And then to do the same. So, however, to create full body, we create from T cylinder, yes? We take this T state in such subspace, E, and in perpendicular direction, we just consider cylinder. But all information is subspace E. And then when we turn this again in the same way, we again come to Euclidean ball. So whatever information we had in K specific distinction, which stay out of Euclidean ball, remember, they have the same volume. So something should be inside, some outside, something in, going inside together. And by duality, you may do this for second part. So I just study only one part. All this information destroyed. Okay, there is no distinction information. They all stay in such kind of small subspace of epsilon n dimension. And this is introduction for the step which we will do now, which even consider even less added information to kill completely whatever new thing you may have in the ball. So, now consider Rn and mu sum probability measure, and only three examples important to us, which is spherical, or standard Gaussian, or uniform distribution on tubes, so discrete case. And whoever wants just to know what is general result, it is, of course, C2 condition for any linear functional and almost isotropicity, which I don't want now to read. These all examples are extremely, they have this MNA class, which we call for A equal 1, just. So this is just, and this is the most important examples which I will see. So this is our randomness. And, of course, I need immediately notion of covering, which was many times, I believe, already introduced. It's the smallest number of points needed such that shift of one body cover another body. Okay. And now result. I will show many things there because this is difficult to catch on the spot. So, theorem. You see, we consider k random vectors distributed, as I explained before, one of three examples. Then there exist numbers, alpha and beta, such that if k is any convex or even just star bodies, the zero inside, interior, and this covering, which governed by number alpha. Okay? Then the following true. Let us see what is written here. One term first, whatever is written. This is, we put such, I want this for a minute. So, you see, we put the following. We have 0 point. We have our body. I take linear functional, which correspond to random xi. And what I take is this set. Xxi less or equal. And I intersect. It means I cut off whatever stay here. This is going out. But this is n-dimensional space. I took one hyperplane. If I take k such hyperplane, this is what it's done. It's intersection. So, k such hyperplane random. Okay? everything which was out of Euclidean ball will be cut off. Think about K being small proportion of N. So this is number depending on proportion. No information going out remain. Okay? I have perhaps picture I put in some place. Okay, so it's one hyperplane, another, but all these parts stay inside. And we have a lot of room in space of n-dimensional space. A lot of room. But very little. Epsilon and hyperplanes destroy all information staying far away. And to compare with no known result, let me just tell that if I will take, of course, in this definition, when it is zero, it is inside. It's less than number, positive number. And so kernel of Xi are all inside our set, kernel. And so whatever I said, for example, following that, if you take intersection of kernel, which has very small codimension, K's codimension here, with K, all this intersection has upper bound, and this result contain whatever knows what is low M star estimate, but also contain theorem about finite volume ratio that it is Euclidean, and some other result it contain. But it gives global form now. It is not local. Local form we call which our information is only on subspaces. And here is global. It is for all body. And one addition, which I should add because in application it is important, we very often don't have choice of alpha. And so we would like to have this theorem with any alpha. Any alpha. And it is possible. But then we should take not symmetric version. We should consider absolute value of this, which is not disturbing us to consider later kernel, which is important application of what I said. Again, for expert additional new information, for example, low M star estimate is for Rademacher only functionals and not for... Okay, perhaps it will stay and I will show another. I still have this minutes to finish, not to talk about proof. Now we may apply this twice to come to pattern, to connect with the title. So, if we apply this twice, for body and for its polar, so we need to have condition of covering for body and also for polar. And then statement is, if I took twice random vector set xi from 1 to k, yj from 1 to k, and k is small proportion of n, okay? And then we produce the following surgery with our convex body. We first intersect. It is exactly procedure I've already explained. We take this slice and we cut them out. But remember, it's n dimension and our slice going only epsilon n times. It's very small part of dimension. And after this cutting, you add point yj, but going far on distance square root of k. Square root of k is not accident. It is volume normalization. If L1 has the same volume as Euclidean ball, if you take square root of dimension normalization. So normalization always connect to you some volumes. So this is point you take. So first you cut, and now you take some point far, and you take convex hull. And what you receive, you always receive the same body. You receive Euclidean ball, and the unit ball of L1, cross polytope in dimension k, increase square root of k time. So all information about convex body disappear completely. So whatever your start was, you always come to the same body. And perhaps the only thing I should say in a second is that why this is applicable to everybody. Because there exists condition. Or condition on... condition on covering. But it is well known now that for everybody case, there exists position such that both conditions are satisfied for some alpha. So this is applicable to any convex body at all. And we see that all information which is distinguished two different bodies are stay on some kind of very small dimensions, but random. We don't know where they are. So I'm sorry that I delay for 1 minute.
Any questions?
Not a question, but a remark.
Yes.
I think you should maybe mention Raphael Villa in connection.
What?
You should mention Villa in connection with this.
What connection?
In connection with the random co-type, you should mention the name of Villa.
No. Not only, I don't know, just a moment. I have full slides. I don't know if random co-type I should mention his, but I have full slide about your paper and connection. Just I don't see in the moment of co-type. But connection with these two random points, which gives square root of 2, was on the slide which I look and finally did not put because of bad timing. Because also on this subject, we have some result around which is curious, which started from this reactor paper, your Villa and... But when you say random cotype, you should explain me. But random square root of 2, it's of course. And it is on... What?
Is 3 norm bigger than sigma lambda I squared? Or this use of
brass cavity? I just don't hear. I may put these slides, because it just... It was a moment which I noticed that I talk too much. Otherwise, I know. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Okay, if not, then just thank you, Charlie.